preventing controversy has actually been a very big part of what Cesar Conde has done as the leader of NBC, in addition to managing the P&L. And when something like this comes up and bites you, even if it is the sort of thing that maybe doesn't last more than a week or two in the news cycle, it exposes a lot.
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby.
It's Thursday, April 11th. Today, I'm joined by Dylan Byers to talk about the drama inside NBC News after the Ronna McDaniel debacle, a story that has faded from the headlines but has still left some wounds in the newsroom. We also discuss CBS News rebranding their streaming network as CBS News 24/7, and whether they're actually doing something new or just slapping a new label on something that's been around for a decade. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of Powers That Be.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the Powers That Be. I want to take a brief moment of podcast host privilege and say happy birthday to my dad. Him and my mom both turned 75 this week, although they don't look or feel or act a day over 45. I love you both. I'm joined today by Dylan Byers to talk about the media, including my dad's former employer back in the day, NBC News. Dylan, welcome to the show. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm rested and restored after a true week-long vacation. And happy birthday to the Hambys. I had no idea.
They will like that.
Great. I wish I had known.
I'll give you a heads up next year. You were on vacation. That's why I didn't want to tell you. Yeah. Dylan, it's been about 10 or 11 days since the debacle at NBC News, their hiring, then firing of Ronna McDaniel, the unprecedented on-air revolt from talent across NBC News and MSNBC, basically pushing back against Ronna's hiring because she, supported efforts to decertify Joe Biden's legitimate election in 2020. That was, it's a line. It's a line that they crossed. It's faded from the headlines a little bit. You were obviously driving coverage of this story, as you do with most TV news stories these days. But what's the fallout here? Is anyone getting fired? What's the mood like? Are they going to take that money they were giving to Ronna and hire someone else? Is Ronna McDaniel going to get paid? What's happening over there at Peacock?
Yeah, well, look, Ronna McDaniel will almost certainly get paid. This is a headache that also costs a little bit of money. Look, I'll break the fourth wall just for a moment. I'm coming back at this story from a relatively interesting vantage point because, yes, it was all anyone in the industry wanted to talk about after it happened, and it raised it. I think it exposed latent tensions at NBC that had sort of largely been ignored. And I think, in a world where we're sort of, CNN is going through its own melodrama, and the broadcast television networks are sort of crumbling in their own fashion, ABC, CBS, that you look at, relatively speaking, the sort of NBC, MSNBC, CNBC powerhouse is on relatively solid footing, and they have been conflict and controversy free ever since, the sort of days when like Ronan Farrow was going after Andy Lack over the Harvey Weinstein stuff. Mm-hmm. And so managing that and managing, sort of preventing controversy has actually been a very big part of what Cesar Conde has done as the leader of NBC, in addition to managing the P&L. And when something like this comes up and bites you, even if it is the sort of thing that maybe doesn't last more than a week or two in the news cycle, it exposes a lot. And so which you and I have talked about and I've written about, but it has exposed tensions at the sort of newsroom level, tensions that some of the rank and file and some of the on-air talent have with some of the newer leaders. Obviously, there's just certain things that you sort of have to wonder, like, okay, if someone like, say, one of the newsroom leaders, Carrie Budoff Brown, is exposed to have like thanked, a Republican operative for fomenting criticism of Chuck Todd, what does it look like when Chuck Todd and Carrie Budoff Brown walk into the same room? Those are all sort of questions down on the ground floor. Then there is the sort of ongoing conversation at the newsroom about like, how much does this expose Cesar Conde, the chairman of the NBC News Group, and how much does it sort of throw into question whether he is actually the right leader for the organization? I think that is a discussion, what I've found in my reporting this week, coming back to this story after what I understand from checking in from vacation were no developments, that is a conversation happening at the newsroom floor, but that by and large, Comcast, the NBC Universal parent company, is sort of very ready to move on from this and has sort of thrown its support behind Caesar, and that they're not, and I think this is sort of predictable in retrospect, but they're not going to let a fuck up, no matter how much it metastasized and no matter how embarrassing it was, they're not going to let that spiral into an even bigger controversy and a bigger story by forcing Caesar or anyone else necessarily to sort of fall on the sword for it. Mm-hmm. And so I think what we're going to, the long-winded way of saying, Peter, I think what we're going to have happen here now is this controversy will sort of, has already earned its place in the sort of, you know, like archives of great media controversies, where it will live. And in the meantime, there will sort of be this return to the boring normalcy that has characterized NBC in recent years, but with sort of latent tensions and sort of just awkwardness now in terms of the relationships between the talent and the leadership, the journalists and the leadership, in light of what has happened here. So long story short, I don't see anyone losing their job tomorrow. At the same time, I think that these things are sort of going to sort of influence and perhaps, negatively influence the sort of like day-to-day functioning of the news organization.
Does it make it harder or easier for NBC to hire Republican voices, in your opinion, now?
Well, look, I think, you know, everyone's a sort of opportunist here. And I think that, you know, Republicans have obviously like gone after NBC over this in sort of, you know, a way that was reminiscent of Republicans going after the New York Times in the wake of the Tom Cotton op-ed. Mm-hmm. But the interest at the NBC News leadership level in having Republican voices on the air continues to exist. And in fact, Cesar Conde in his statement said that they would redouble their efforts on that front. Meanwhile, there are a lot of, you know, former political operatives out there floating around looking for a contributor check. So I don't see this as being, you know, I don't think that all of a sudden there's, you know, sort of some sort of ultimatum coming out of the RNC that no one's allowed, or of Trump world, that no one's allowed to appear on NBC. But I do think it emphasizes the challenge that you and I have discussed in the past, which is how do you hire political contributors, or how do you include voices from what is a pretty significant chunk of the Republican Party, which is the sort of Trump loyal MAGA world? How do you reflect that viewpoint on air? And I think this has clearly shown that viewpoint has no place on NBC News or on MSNBC, and that it is going to continue to be a challenge for all of the networks that we cover.
One thing I think is worth talking about too is politics and political coverage is something that obviously saturates MSNBC. It's what people in Washington talk about. It saturates CNN. But that's just MSNBC and parts of NBC sometimes, like Meet the Press. It's not all of NBC. And I'm thinking about this in the context of an interview that Cesar Conde did with Brian Stelter for Fast Company a few days ago, which was conducted before the Rana incident. But he really stresses things like the Today Show is a, quote, lifestyle business. Brian interviewed also Janelle Rodriguez at NBC, who's running NBC News Now, which is their streaming product. And we'll talk more about CBS's streaming product after the break. But Janelle and Caesar in this interview both emphasized that NBC is not just about politics. NBC News Now in particular is trying to approach things from a more general interest perspective rather than just like nonstop 24/7 political coverage. And, you know, I've gone on my friend Gadi Schwartz's NBC News Now show before, and that's a real emphasis for him. It's not to not cover politics, but to place it in the context of the big news of the day, what's happening out in the world beyond just Capitol Hill and the campaign trail. And, you know, as much as we obsess about the Ronna McDaniel story, in other words, NBC News larger audience might not care as much.
Yeah, sure. Well, and also, yeah, first of all, totally. We don't. There's all sorts of stuff that happens in the sort of political realm, political media realm, that the vast majority of people just don't pay attention to or don't care about, and that fundamentally is not going to alter anyone's viewing habits, right? You don't stop waking up to Savannah and Hoda because you heard that NBC momentarily hired the former RNC chair. People, you know, and nor does Wall Street stop getting its news from CNBC. I don't think any of that changes. And again, part of the calculation for, well, all these people are sort of pulling their hair out and screaming and crying foul at 30 Rock and 400 North Cap and in the industry generally. I think Comcast recognizes, you know, just kind of looking at the portfolio, looking at where media and news is and where the news is in their portfolio and how much of the business it accounts for. I think the ultimate calculation is like, is Caesar effectively managing the P&L or no? And if the answer is yes, and I think the answer is yes, then there's not really a lot for them to be concerned about. That said, if there's anything that I have learned from covering the news industry specifically, it's that these little pieces of the portfolio are capable of creating headaches that sort of metastasize into problems that the company does have to address. And it's why why if you're Comcast, you want to make sure that you've got a structure and a leadership in place that is going to prevent future controversies from happening to the best of your ability. And I don't think anyone at the Comcast level has any doubt that Caesar has the ability to do that. I don't think they have any concerns that this, to your point, is going to affect broader interest in NBC or the Today Show or anything like that. But these are the sorts of problems that you want to nip in the bud. And you can watch the sort of success or failure of news organizations. Those things can rise and fall based off of who's sitting in the leadership positions, based off of like who's in charge of the decisions that are being made. And so I think it down here in our little corner of the universe, that makes it a really big deal.
Dylan, take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about something new going on at the house of Bill Paley. It's called CBS News 24/7. It's new, but is it really just old? We'll be right back.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
Welcome back to the Powers That Be, everybody. I'm joined by Dylan Byers. We're talking media, specifically TV news today. Dylan, CBS announced this week to much fanfare that the CBS News streaming network will become CBS News 24/7 later this month. The channel will also extend John Dickerson's new show, The Daily Report with John Dickerson, to 90 minutes. This was sort of praised as a revolutionary change in CBS's press release. That's what press releases do.
They always are.
Wendy McMahon, president and CEO of CBS, said, CBS News 24/7 is a decidedly ambitious evolution of our streaming efforts. Data backs up our bet on a fresh, timely, and distinctive approach to breaking news and live coverage. Our audiences crave it, and we're in the best position to deliver it. CBSN launched way back in 2014, a decade ago, under the oversight of then CBS president David Rhodes. What's actually new about this, Dylan?
Nothing. I'm so amused by the "our audiences crave it" thing. I would like someone to point me to one data point that suggests that audiences crave this kind of content. I think what's happening here, which is pretty clear, is for a very, very long time, news networks have been aware of the need to have a streaming strategy. And perhaps David Rhodes was even early in that effort.
I think he deserves credit for that, yeah.
And he deserves credit for that. But, you know, the strategy of let's take what we have on television and put it on streaming suggests a fundamental misunderstanding of the changes in consumer behavior, what's driving those changes, and what the potential solutions might be, right? Like the thesis here, if you're just going to take John Dickerson and all the other stuff that you have and you're going to put it over on streaming, which is what CBS has done under one title or another with this streaming network for a long time, it seems to suggest that you believe that the reason fewer and fewer people are watching television news or cable news or broadcast news is because it's on TV. And if only it were on an app or streaming, then more people would watch. But that, of course, is not the issue. The issue is that people are consuming news in very different ways now, whether through social or through, you know, their, you know, push notifications. I mean, whether you're a Snap, you get your news through Snap, or you get your news through the New York Times, it's different. And the value of the white man behind the desk reading the news is not what it once was. And I don't want to be the guy who has constantly come on here and talked about the need to adapt to streaming and then shit talk anyone for investing in streaming. Mm-hmm. At the same time, if you're going to throw all of that investment into streaming without any other strategy than just doing what has been done on linear, which clearly is not meeting the demands of consumers, much less the younger consumers who are probably more likely to be on streaming as opposed to linear, you are probably missing the point. And so I guess what I would say is, at least they're doing something in streaming, as everyone now is and should be. But there needs to be more than just doing, you can't just take what you were doing on television in an era in which more people watched television and got their news from television and just put it on streaming in an era when people get their news from myriad sources in myriad ways on myriad platforms. Because if you do that, and then let's say, you know, the ad, something in the ad market changes, or, you know, the subscribers don't turn out, like your, or the viewers don't turn out, then all of that investment is kind of going to go to shit.
I mean, the streaming products have been around for the TV networks for many years now. From my conversations with people working on them, the metrics and the targets are rather opaque. What's the metric of success? It's never really been known outside of, you know, the executive offices at these places? Is it concurrent viewers? Is it total minutes viewed? Because they don't have the same kind of Nielsen calculations. Not that Nielsen is great. I think Nielsen is actually really flawed, but
pretty flawed.
It's just hard to know what's a win on these streaming channels. And the only thing we do know is that they are long term plays. They are just, it's slow. It's a slow roll. Yeah. Build an audience over many, 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 many years and hopefully monetize it. But yeah, I mean, I could make the argument that CBS News has 2 million followers on Instagram, 3 million followers on TikTok. I mean, those short form, I don't know what they have on YouTube Reels, but short form video in many ways is maybe a better investment just in terms of eyeballs and reach and brand awareness than repeating television on a streaming network. But it's hard to say that short form video is the future though, because it's so hard to monetize. And so, yeah, like you said, I don't want to criticize anybody for taking things off linear and trying new things. I just don't think we need to pretend that the wheel is being reinvented in any major way.
Yeah, that's right. It's muscle memory, and it's knowing how to do one thing really well and not having a lot of other creative solutions. And really what these times like demand, if you are in a world where you're competing with everyone, is more creative thinking about how you flex your muscle in new and innovative ways. And what I'm not seeing in this is any innovation whatsoever.
All right, Dylan, thanks for joining me. Welcome back from vacation. Talk soon.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck. We'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.